Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. That's not true. There are many others, but please only listen to this one and the other one that we do. You can listen to others. I don't care, to be honest. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my co-host with the least host. His name is Lawrence Thomas Heisey. Lawrence, hello. How are you? I actually don't care, but I would like you to tell us all what this silly little show is all about. Thank you very much. The floor is now yours.
Nathan James Bauer, this is the show where we get together and we talk about something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie. It could be a telly show. It could even possibly be a video game. But the main thing, Nathan James Bauer, is that we do so without any of the toxic negative Nelly discourse that is oh so prevalent in the discussion these days. I am very well. Nathan, what are you up to?
What's this speech pattern? You're pissing me off.
I'm just trying something different. I always rush through it, and I'm thinking that's, you know, add a bit of unique flavour into the episodes. Otherwise, you're just listening to the same thing.
I'd rather you rush through it.
Well, you wrote it for me. If you wanted it to be shorter, you could make it shorter.
It's short and sweet. Before you were going on fucking 10-mile fucking tangents and not even knowing what to say.
Yeah, well, now I keep it... I look, it can be short and sweet, but I want to give it a little bit of my own personal flair, and I'll be damned if you'll take it away from me.
I don't.
Are you in one of those tired moods again where you can't think of anything to say?
No, I'm not.
I think that little giggle was indicating that you might be.
No, I'm not.
No, Mum, let me have my nap time.
Do you ever, like, sit on the couch and then watch like TV or a movie and you're like, fuck, I'm tired, man. Like,
yeah, all the time.
I could, yeah. I've been noticing that a lot, really, because I'm doing this one movie a day bullshit because I'm decided that we're in a competition.
Still not a competition, but that's fine.
So I'm doing that. And then I'm always like, fuck, I'm so tired, man. Like, I'm nodding off here. And then I go to bed and then I'm like, well, now I'm wide awake. What is going on? What is this?
Yeah, it's always at the weirdest times. If I watch a movie at like 8 in the morning, I'm like, I've literally just woken up from a big long sleep. Why do I need to be asleep again right now?
There's some kind of magic they put in that couch, man. It's like you sat on that couch, you're watching a movie, and it's like, oh, a little cheeky nap.
I often like don't treat myself to a full recliner. Like if I recline, it's only partially. Like I have to be in somewhat of a sitting up position. If I'm laying down, I'll be asleep within 5 minutes of a movie.
Yeah, no, if I am reclined, it's game over, mate. It is 100%. I've already got a blanket on. Like,
yeah.
I can't do the full recline because then it's lights out time for Nathan. And I'm already struggling to stay awake. I'm already fighting a losing battle.
Nathan's never fully sustained. He's never at full operating capacity.
No, much like the Death Star. Lawrence, what do we do here? What is this?
This episode specifically? Because I've already done my, as you called it, a 10-mile long speech about how what the show is.
Whatever.
We are in our third and final installment of Star Wars Uary. We're going.
Never signed off on that. Never agreed.
I think that you'll find that you're wrong. Yes, we are three episodes deep. We have done all of the original trilogy. We're about to cap it off with the final entry, Return of the Jedi. A movie that I have not seen. Why no?
Because we're doing the prequels next week.
We're not. And also, I'd still be right. We'd still be capping off the original trilogy today.
Yeah, well.
Oh, you had nothing? You needed a nap again?
Just nothing else.
Okay, good. Nathan, I have not seen Return of the Jedi in, at least 6 or 7 years, maybe more.
Well, whose fault's that?
No, I'm not blaming you. You need to get off the defensive today. I don't know who's got you in this mood.
I'm cranky.
I'm sorry that you feel this way. It's been a while for me. Haven't revisited this in a very long old time. I was excited to revisit it. When was the last time you saw it? And haha, don't say yesterday or today. I'm ahead of you today.
Only because I already got you with that joke.
Yeah, but they didn't hear it. They didn't hear that bit.
Only because you was already prepared after being zingered by me.
I can't stop
but
being
Lawrence,
zingered.
I last watched this movie yesterday.
Very good.
And then before that, probably like a year ago.
Yeah, bloody hell.
I watched it a lot. I watched these movies a lot.
So you're like, your adult opinion has properly formed. You know of your feelings on this movie and have done for a while.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, but like the last time, I wouldn't have... technically, I was an adult 7 years ago, but I was fucking like 20 and an idiot. Like,
you was an idiot. I knew you when you were 20.
You did. Did I know you at 20? Did I know you at 21?
No, you didn't know me at 20. Well... No, you didn't. No, you didn't know me. I was 21 before we met.
Okay, yeah. I need to work out the timeline one of these days.
I think I was 21 when we met.
Oh,
right. 30.
I've known you for 9 years. That's unacceptable. That makes me feel old, and I'm not even the oldest one.
Well, you knew me towards. We met like towards the end of my 21st year. Like I was about to turn 22.
Oh, okay, that's a little bit better.
Yeah,
we'll take those months. Anything we can get.
Yeah.
All right. This viewing experience just this morning, mere hours ago, it sparked. It reminded me of something.
What's that?
And I'll get there, Nathan. I'm gonna tell you of something I saw once upon a time that. And this will get your back up because I saw it on film Twitter.
My least favorite place.
Exactly. And they said that distinguishing movies into the best of category and your personal favourites is the mark of a hack and not a true cinema enjoyer.
Oh, fuck off. Oh, I fucking hate that place. I hate everyone there.
Yeah.
I hate you. Mm. I hate them all.
I'm on your side with this. I think that's an absurd statement. I love movies that are fucking stupid and like movies that I will go, yeah, that's objectively not a good film, but it's brilliant.
What do you mean by... Base now, because now you got me frightened.
No, right. The reason I bring it up is because this like as a child I would always say like, oh, Return of the Jedi is my favorite one. I love Return of the Jedi. It was the one I think we've spoken about it a couple of weeks ago. It was the one that I watched the most as a child.
I said that you're confusing your childhood with mine.
No, it was all right, but then it was also applicable to my childhood. I didn't just pretend I was you growing up. But yeah, the fact that I think some people don't like to distinguish best between their favourites is absurd, mainly because this is kind of the perfect movie to, at least from my opinion, sum up that argument. Like, I don't think this is the best Star Wars movie. No. And as a child, I used to think it was. I don't think it is now. Please, is that how long that is, or did you press that twice?
Nope, that's how long it is.
That's absurdly long. But the reason I say it's a favourite is like it is because it captures that feeling that like you're watching it and you're like, yeah, this stuff that I think A New Hope and Empire did lot like better and I think that they're better movies. But if I had to put one on and watch one of them, it would probably be this one, because it takes a while to kind of get where it needs to go, I think. But it probably has... No, stop. Because it has the highest highs, I think, of the entire saga. Like, when this movie's hitting, it hits so well. What do you think?
First of all, I don't think this is the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I think it's the best of the original trilogy. Mm. And I think it's very good, and I enjoy it quite a lot.
It doesn't quite meet the highs of the other two.
All right, name one high it doesn't meet. And I'll tell you why you're wrong, objectively.
All right, I don't think it's as well-paced as the other two.
All right, why don't you tell me everything you hate about this movie?
I don't hate it. This is one of my favourites. I love this movie.
All right, let's go. Well, tell me what you hate.
All right, fine. I don't think it's as well-paced. I don't think...
Incorrect.
Is that going to be your rebuttal? Just incorrect?
It is actually very well-paced.
Oh, I see. My mistake. I didn't realise that when I watched it.
Well, yeah.
Silly me. No, I don't want to just list things I don't like about it, because that's not what... There's not a lot of things I don't like about it. I just think the others do stuff better.
But what don't you like about it?
I don't... Nathan, stop this. I don't want to do this.
But no, just tell me.
Nathan, I like this movie a lot, but I can recognise that I think the other two have a bit more sauce.
Well, that means fuck all. What, in actual terms that I can understand, What about the other two is better than this one?
I think the ingenuity of the first one is more impressive, and I understand it had a lesser budget and no reputation. But I found the things they were able to do more impressive. I found the space battles.
The battle in this is so much more impressive than the first one.
I don't think so. I think it's.
Oh, you are so
I think
wrong.
It's shinier and flashier. I don't think it's as compelling from a story perspective.
You are so wrong.
In your opinion, Nathan.
You are objectively
no.
incorrect.
I think the pacing in this is... It gets too bogged down in its settings. I found what I liked about Empire and A New Hope was they were so fast moving, and they felt like they stuck around for places, but they were there for like the amount of time they needed to be, and then they were gone. Whereas I find like some of the stuff on Endor is a bit long. Some of the stuff in Jabba's palace on Tatooine is especially quite a bit extended, a bit too extended. And like, I would have, I don't know, a bit more attention paid to the back end where this movie like shines. Like, it's like the crowning achievement of the original trilogy for me is like the end scene with Luke, Vader and the Emperor. And like, I don't know, a bit more time there and a bit less time in like Jabba's palace would have done me happier.
To say that A New Hope is a fast-paced movie is, frankly, one of the most absurd statements of the decade.
A New Hope?
A New Hope is a fast-paced movie.
It's known for its fast pace.
No, it's known for its notoriously slow pace.
No, I think it's slow pacing in the scenes where it slows down and lets people talk, but the rate that it moves and the rate that it accelerates...
The first half an hour is just fucking C-3PO and R2 walking through the desert.
Oh, I think you're nuts. I think, all right, stuff happens slowly. I'm not saying everyone on screen is sped up times two and they're all running around, but it moves quickly. You've got, you
it
know,
the
droids. The droids getting shot at. The droids on Tatooine. The droids with Luke. The droids go missing. Luke's aunt and uncle get killed. Luke goes back to Ben, and they go to fucking...
You're just listing things that happen in the movie.
Yeah, and there's so much that happens in that 2 hour span of the movie.
You can do the exact same thing with Return of the Jedi.
I don't think you could break it down that quickly. You could pretty much say Jabba's palace, Endor.
No, okay, that's not fair. A lot happens at Jabba's palace. You're just skipping over everything.
Right, all right, fine. Jabba's palace, and then the Sarlacc pit, and then Endor.
Okay, no, but you know for a fact you're being unfair.
I'm not being unfair. And also, I didn't want to list things I don't like about it.
Shut the fuck up. No, because you listed every single detail that happened on Tatooine in A New Hope. And then you just bogged it in Return of the Jedi. You just bogged everything down to two separate scenes, and that's it.
Okay, all right. But like, more does happen.
You was being unfair there.
I was being flavoursome.
No, you was being
unfair. I think that more happens in... A New Hope. I can't believe that you don't think A New Hope is fast-paced. I think it's...
No one thinks A New Hope is fast-paced.
I think everyone thinks.
You're incorrect.
I'm Googling this. I want a general consensus.
It's very much a movie of the time in that it is slow paced. Like, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love it even. It's great. Mm. But I can recognize that it is a movie of the 70s, and movies of that era are slower paced than they are today.
Yeah,
and it is slower paced.
They move slower and scenes are longer because that's just the way things are cut now. That's like the things are naturally cut quicker for people's, like, I don't know, catering for people's wants of, you know, faster moving stuff now. But what I'm saying is, like, the sequences and the actual plot developments happen at a quick pace, even if they take place during, like, scenes that in new movies would last 2 minutes, and in this scene and this movie lasts like 6 minutes or something. Like,
you're saying it's slow paced, but it's fast paced.
No, I'm saying it slows down, but the events of the movie are fastly unfolding. Like, they're quickly moving, even if Luke is taking his time to look around a ship whilst the ship is going somewhere quickly, getting us somewhere.
Like, no, I think you're incorrect.
No, that's fine. I watched it 2 weeks ago, as did you, and my opinion is fair. But this is not what I wanted to do anyway. I'm not trying to pit it against the others. I'm just saying it's one of my personal favourites of the entire saga. But yeah, I think this is a movie that, like, it accurately... It's a great best versus favourites example, because it's like, it doesn't have to be the best of the trilogy. It doesn't have to be the best of the saga for me to enjoy it the most.
But it is the best.
Okay. I think you're unwilling to engage in what I'm saying. I think you're just going, no, I like it. I like it lots.
Okay, well, you didn't need to do that voice.
I did need to do the voice, because you're being facetious, so I'll be facetious.
No, I'm not doing a voice like that. Come on.
All right, sorry. Can I try a different voice?
Sure.
I like this movie. That's my impression of you.
Your impression of me is a lower toned voice saying, I like this movie.
Yeah.
And you're implying there that I like movies?
I guess. It was more the mocking tone that I wanted you
burn
to...
Burn on me.
I wanted you to take... Shut up.
Sick.
All right.
Burn.
All right. You can't stop saying this is your favourite movie. So why is it your favourite movie?
Not my favourite movie.
Oh, fuck. Now who's being facetious? You know what I mean. Why do you keep saying it's your favourite of the Star Warses?
It's not my favourite. I just said that. It's not my favourite of the Star Warses. It's my favourite of the original trilogy.
Okay. I think you know what I mean.
You should clarify.
Yeah.
It's the best of the original three, I believe. I think it's more fun. It's got the most heart.
Mm.
It's got the best of... the third act is great. You got a three-pronged assault with the fucking ground assault on Endor, the space battle with the Death Star, and the fucking Luke Vader duel in the throne room. I think it's out of the three Star Wars movies, this is the one where, like, everything comes together and it's all, like, culminates, and it's what we've been waiting to see, and it's all good stuff. It's the best of all three, because it takes the best parts of all three and worlds it all together.
Yeah.
And you have the great fight from Empire. You have a good space battle from the first one. You have the heart and the emotions of the characters all the way throughout, and they're all here in this one movie. And also, we got little bears now, and that's pretty cool too.
Should we start with the Ewoks?
No, that's later in the movie. Why would we start with that?
All right, well, I haven't got a huge amount of notes. I've done what I did with Empire and mainly just summed up some interesting little points that I thought were cool.
All right, but tell me what you hate about this movie, because clearly you don't like this.
Nathan, stop doing this, because you put
me in
a...
Clearly you have a problem with it.
You put me in a fighting stance for a movie that I don't want to fight. I'm not trying tell you this is a bad movie. I like this movie.
All right, but clearly you enjoy it. You've enjoyed it the least out of the three we've watched.
Yeah, probably.
So then tell me what you hate about it.
But that's not what I want to... Right, you know the intro to this show. Why would I want to spend my time on the stuff I hated, which I didn't hate, I just appreciated less than the other two?
Because I want to tell you why you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. This is... Right, this is coming across an awful gatekeepy Star Wars of you, Nathan.
I do gatekeep Star Wars.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't. Because that's a rude thing to do.
No, I'm gonna... It's only mine. Only I can enjoy it.
There's of two things that gets pointed at in this movie, one being the Ewoks and one being the Jabba's Palace sequence. That's where...
What's
the
wrong
movie...
with the Jabba's Palace sequence?
I don't think anything's wrong with it. I think it's too long. I think it goes on a bit.
Why?
David, do you want to talk or do you want to just fucking
what?
Get me
What's
to...
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you asking you to explain your position and give me your thoughts behind it?
I just think it goes on a little bit too long, and it's all a little bit... It feels stretched out. Like, it feels like the pace kind of... I mean, I'm pretty sure the movie's like just over 2 hours, and it's about half an hour of the movie, which to me feels a bit elongated. I feel like there's a bit too many... We got one over on Jabba, but Jabba's pulling the strings the whole time. We got one over on him again... Now he's got us back again, and we're all captured. And for what it comes down to, which is basically just a big fight where everyone beats up the people they're supposed to beat up, it's resolved too quickly for how much of a time it takes up in the movie, I think. Like, it goes on for a bit, and then it's solved ultimately by something that could have happened in Jabba's palace, which is everyone just starts having a fight with each other.
That's such a reductive way to look at it.
No, all right, but what I'm saying is I think it could have... I'm not saying it should have done, I'm just saying I prefer the pacing of the first two because I think they move quicker than this. This feels a lot like after the kind of really intriguing ending of Empire Strikes Back and where you're left with this feeling of hope and kind of... like liberation almost from this kind of oppressive thing that the Empire has over the rebels. Then it starts and like Han's in trouble, Leia's like enslaved, Luke arrives, and then Luke is like dumped into a pit. Then they're all chained up, and it's like it feels a little bit like we went backwards.
This was the plan all along, though. The reason R2 had Luke's lightsaber inside him is so he could be on that barge to throw it up at him. Luke was giving Jabba a chance. Mm. He's a Jedi now. He doesn't want to go in there sword swinging and kill them all instantly, even though he does force choke those Gamorrean guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. He does walk in and immediately commit murder.
We ignore that, right? We just look past that, okay? But, like, he wants to give Jabba a chance. He's constantly giving Jabba a chance throughout it, you know? Yeah. He wants him to do the right thing, and he even says, Jabba, this is your last chance, 3 years, or die. Jabba, he's a big evil slug. He's like, I'm a Lukila solo.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to die. So he's like, oh, I tried. Time to fuck everyone up.
Let's I gave it my best go. That is a good fight. Yeah. I do really enjoy that fight.
It's a good fight. Boba Fett is a big goof.
Yeah, he had the menace of Boba Fett just immediately extinguished. So obviously this is technically not the first time we've seen Jabba, but it should have been the first time we see Jabba.
This is the first time people would have seen Jabba.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas we've now seen a nice CGI version of it.
No, yeah, because that was put in the 90s. Mm. But this is the first time in time, I guess. This is the first, whatever. This is the first time people would have seen Jabba. This is Jabba's first on-screen appearance.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of the movies.
It's like
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's confusing because people come back and dabbled. I think this is like an interesting time capsule as well, because this is like a practical Jabba that's very like...
He looks great.
He looks incredible. Like,
he looks so greasy and he's got like spit drooling out of his mouth and
it's
everything.
It's like bile
it looks so gross.
And gross, grotesque goo. And even the way he like talks and stuff. the way he talks and the way he's just like so hideous and he's like... just got goo sprouting from like every orifice that you can see.
Yeah.
I just love the grotesque nature of the how he's literally just a big fucking fully nude slug. Sat there on full display, like, entertain me. I don't know. The way it makes me think of is like, I know it's supposed to evoke this, but like a mob boss. But like if a mob boss didn't dress in a sharp suit and you were able to see them for like the evil that they always are behind any like bravado, because a slug doesn't need to wear a fancy suit. He's just there to be gross.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does make this funny time capsule of like looking at like how Jabba was here and then how he was put in the 90s for the special editions. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm glad the Star Wars original trilogy wasn't made in the 90s, because it would have absolutely all looked like this.
Probably.
And I just think, yeah, I just think it's such an incredible look in this film. But, I mean, like, I'm not breaking any new ground. Like, I think people have long agreed that the practical in Star Wars in this era is better than what has been added in the special editions.
Not all of it.
No, there's some absolutely... I mean, there's that shot of the Millennium Falcon in A New Hope, which is, like, it adds a whole layer of weight to that scene. And we spoke about the expansion of Mos Eisley and how it makes for a more lived-in area. But I think design-wise, Jabba is definitely something that you can look back on and go like, oh yeah, I'm glad this was like made in the 80s rather than like kind of put out in the late 90s or something. Was it late 90s, mm-hmm. special editions?
96.
Yeah, okay. Love Jabba, love all of that. But yeah, the fight stuff, green lightsabers.
Green lightsaber, how yep. can you not like that?
I love a the green lightsaber.
The minds would have been blown in 1983 when he ignited that lightsaber. Like, what, it's green? They could be green too. What the fuck?
Was there a reason? Insane. I feel like there was a reason, something special effect-wise, that they had to swap it to green, right?
Yes, because it was originally blue. There's actually quite a lot of posters, like where you can see it's like a blue lightsaber.
Yeah.
And yeah, specifically because of this first fight where he's on Tatooine and in daylight, and like the blue lightsaber would have been up against the blue sky of Tatooine, and it just
makes sense.
Just didn't really stand out. So like, oh, let's make it green.
That big fanfare moment where he ignites the lightsaber, and it's just I can barely make that out actually.
Yeah,
wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah, I love a green lightsaber. Green's my color. I love the green. I always want to go for a green lightsaber whenever I get the choice. It's
Survivor lightsaber is a green, isn't it?
Always green.
Yeah.
It's always the best choice to go with. Yeah.
It does stand out nice. I feel like there's this weird like purity associated with blue that makes me feel like it's for the nerdier Jedi. Green, I feel, is more rock and roll.
I associate green as being like more masterful. Because when you think of like who has the green lightsabers, it's always like it's Qui-Gon, it's Yoda, it's Master Luke, you know, it's always the big hitters. Whereas like the apprentice would traditionally have the blue lightsaber, and it's like, well, I'm still learning training wheels lightsaber sort of thing.
Oh, is that how it is?
That's not a thing at all.
Oh, okay,
but like that's kind of how I've seen it.
Yeah, really. And it's like for like sticklers of the rules, like Obi-Wan is like a bit of a nerd and has a blue lightsaber and everything else. But then Anakin, arguably the most rock and roll Jedi to ever live, he had a blue one. So
he did, yeah.
I thought there was going to be a moment. I couldn't remember. I was disappointed we didn't get to see Vader holding the green lightsaber, because he does hold it, but it's shot in a way that you never see Vader holding a green saber.
No, he's never ignited.
Yeah,
when he's holding it, he's just holding the hilt,
which is a shame.
Yeah,
I like. What do you make of because we get a bit of an up close one. What do you make of Luke's lightsaber hilt design? Where are you at with hilts?
I love it. It's a good design. It's very similar to Obi-Wan's lightsaber.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good classic design.
Mm.
I like it. I often, in Jedi Survivor, I often make my own lightsaber somewhat reminiscent of this. I always use that like emitter piece,
like the in and out kind of.
Yeah.
I like a cone-shaped
thing on the end.
I like a fucking what is it? The end of a Hoover that looks like Anakin's lightsaber. You know, where it's got that like feel like if someone's diagonally taken a saw to a pole.
What?
Do you know what I mean? Like, picture Anakin's lightsaber, and now picture the end section of a Hoover.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
That's the one I like. I like that shape the best.
Okay.
I don't know. What else do you want to talk about? The next thing on my notes is Ewoks. So, like, because
the next thing on your notes is Ewoks.
I didn't go chronologically.
Green lightsaber to Ewoks.
I didn't go chronologically. I just wrote some stuff down that I thought that'd be interesting to chat about.
Okay.
All right, what in between the Ewoks and on Jabba's Palace and Tatooine do you think is worth a chat?
Jedi rocks.
And this is where the special editions really come into show.
I love it, man. I love it. I can't help it. I have a certain nostalgia for it. This is the version I watched over and over again as a kid. And I know it's not great. I know you got a big CGI little bear or whatever the fuck he is just screaming into the camera so you can see his little gullet moving and everything. I know.
Yeah.
But like, it's a catchy song. I like it.
I don't know what it is, right? Nice, but something in the 90s activated in George Lucas where he just got really into like absurd, a bit of slapstick. Like the droids is what I'm talking about. You know, the humor of the droids, not the battle droids. They're very like, uh-oh, kind of, and all silly voices and stuff.
Not so much in The Phantom Menace. The droids are quite straight-laced in The Phantom Menace.
Oh, I'll have to revisit that.
Yeah. In the... The slapstick nature of the droids comes very much like pretty much from Revenge of the Sith onwards.
Really? I thought that was...
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's like Revenge of the Sith, and obviously Clone Wars is very prevalent in that.
Oh, but yeah.
In The Phantom Menace, they're very, like, straight-laced. They're very, like, that doesn't compute, you're under arrest, that sort of stuff. Like,
is there not a bit, like, where they lock Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan in the thing, and they're like... Am I misremembering this? Are they not like making a few the Jedi kind of scary? They're scared of Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon.
No,
where am I getting that?
I think you're thinking of Obi-Wan and Anakin when they're maybe again Revenge of the Sith when they're going towards to rescue Palpatine.
Yeah, maybe I am actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I'd have to rewatch the prequels. I haven't seen them in a while, a couple of years. But no,
the battle droids are very straight laced, especially in Phantom Menace. A little bit more silly in Attack of the Clones, but still not like the levels of as they get to in Revenge of the Sith and onwards.
Yeah, you're right. The Clone Wars probably definitely played a part in the silliness. Yeah,
For the better though, it made them.
Oh, they're more fun.
More fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and like they're fucking hilarious in Jedi Survivor as well. Like,
still remember that clip, that full clip that you showed me, where I was like, nothing can go wrong up here.
What a beautiful view. Wow.
Oh, God, yes. I'm on top of the world.
I'm just going to enjoy this view and nothing will go wrong.
But yeah, so George Lucas definitely got into this kind of brand of comedy, because there's even parts where like Luke gets like trapdoored into the Sarlacc, not the Sarlacc pit, the Rancor pit. And you've even got like things around him, like just other creatures being like, "Uh oh!" And it's like all these little additions that just make you go like, "What was he cooking with this? Why did he need this to be a bit sillier?"
That wasn't added though. Luke fell into the Rancor pit in the movie.
No, but like all the reactions around, like you've got like a specific. I don't know. I think it was off screen, so I don't know if it was a droid or a little band member or a creature or something. That one of them's like, "Uh oh!" when Luke falls in, and it's all very. It feels very like something to make the kids have a little laugh while it happens.
There's a lot of stuff to make the kids laugh in this, though.
There is, yeah. It's I mean, the inclusion of the murder Ewoks alone, yeah.
Yeah. Little birds that murder.
Yeah, they do. They commit an awful lot of murder for cuddly bears.
There's a lot of murder in it.
I love
them.
They're
great.
They are great.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Ewoks?
But I want to get your thoughts on the song.
All right, the song... Do you know what? If it wasn't for the visual element, it wouldn't feel out of place.
What's wrong with Snice Noodles?
No, nothing's wrong with Snice Noodles.
She's great.
The thing is, the song doesn't feel out of place because it's like in a club setting and like it's very like people are dying and it's very business as usual. Like, let's just play on while Jabba tortures whoever he's torturing this week. Yeah, it only stands out, which I think, to put a musical number into a scene that previously didn't have one, I believe.
It's a strong choice.
It's a very strong choice, yeah.
It's a bold choice, and it only works for the better, I think.
You
put a musical number in anything, it's instantly better. I stand by that.
I think literally it has a high chance of being instantly worse or better, and George Lucas got quite lucky in this.
No, it's always better. You put a musical number in literally anything, it will always be better because of it.
I don't even know what the song's about. It's just, I don't know the alien language.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's a good fun time.
Did the dancer come back? Didn't the dancer reform some stuff?
Yeah, the Twi'lek dancer was, yeah, she came back after like 13 years or whatever.
She's pretty nuts. Stuff.
Yeah.
She
didn't look a day older at all. So.
Yeah, and for a dancer, that's tough as well. That physicality you've got to keep up. Yeah, my lord. It fits, it's getting by on the skin of its teeth. Like it could, it's one more ridiculous shot of like someone's mouth away from being way too much. But it toes the line and I appreciate its inclusion.
Why do you hate fun?
I don't hate fun, but it stands out like a sore thumb. Like I think it, like the visuals of it, like it's more, it's like akin to those bizarre fucking animals walking in front of the camera in Mos Eisley. Like, it stands out so aggressively. It's like, that wasn't here originally. If it has that feel of like stuff has been painted into this rather than stuff was there. And then they try and cover it up with that shot of Boba Fett just like, yeah, I'll cross my arms to this. I'm having a vibe. I'm here at the club having a good time.
It slots in perfectly for me.
Okay. All right.
It's always been there. It's always part of the movie.
Okay. Well, look, from your childhood, it always has been. So,
exactly.
So what can I say to that? Yeah.
And any version of the movie which may or may not exist without this is just lesser because of that.
Yeah. And not the director's full, true, untapped vision.
This is what Richard Marquand wanted in 1983, or probably 82 when it was shot.
Yeah, it's true. And when I said, I'm not even realizing I did that subconsciously. George Lucas is not the director of these, but he may as well have been.
Yeah.
Because he went back and went, no. Fuck this.
Yeah. As is his right.
Yeah. I don't know. Have the other directors ever weighed in? Because Empire's largely unfucked with, right? Not aggressively, anyway.
It's a bit. It's the least of the three. The least changed of the three. But I don't know. Not that I know.
Yeah, I don't.
But like, again, it's George's.
Oh, they made their millions. They're off. Yeah, they don't care.
I don't think they care that much.
I'd be surprised if they did.
Film Twitter will probably cry about it and think they care. But like,
Yeah, it's true. I think Film Twitter do aggressively care about the song being in it. They're very anti-song.
Then they can shut up.
And respect the true majesty of George Lucas's vision.
Exactly.
That's what I say. What else happens?
I don't know.
Ewoks?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yes, just talk and skip half the movie.
It's not half the movie, but we've spoken...
And talk about the Ewoks.
If you broke this movie down into three parts, it would be Jabba's Palace, Endor, and the final battle. Right.
Well, Endor is part of the final battle.
Well, yeah, but like when I said, I mean, like the throne room and like Luke's.
What about Mon Mothma?
What about her? She just shows up and is like, "Hey, here's a plan."
What about Luke going to Dagobah?
Oh, that's a point. I forgot about Dagobah.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to talk about the fact that fucking Darth Vader's his dad. So he's like, "I'm just gonna die instead." Okay.
And Luke keeps poking him like, "Hey, don't die," and he's like, "I'm literally trying to die, bro."
Exactly. What about all that stuff?
I do like Luke going back to Dagobah. I like how he refers to Yoda as his old friend. You get a true sense that they have like really formed. I mean, obviously they had a kind of mentor mentee kind of relationship anyway, but you really do feel like Luke's, and you get this from, to be fair, from Jabba's Palace, Luke's maturity and how much older Luke feels.
He does feel a lot more full Jedi Master now. Really.
Yeah. He feels like he's...
Jedi Master Luke Skywalker.
It feels like he's kind of got his...
He's very centered.
Yeah. He feels more like measured and calm, despite him murdering two people for merely walking near him.
Like, the whole idea of Luke in this is like, oh, is he flirting with the dark side? Is he going to turn? What's he going to happen? You know, from the get-go, he's dressed all in black in this little sleek number that he's got on with the Chanel boots. He's looking great. He's got the hood up. He's force choking people. Like, ooh, this is a little bit sinister, a little bit naughty Luke. And the whole time, like, Palpatine's convinced he's going to turn over and stuff. So that's very much a theme throughout the movie.
Yeah. And it does, I do like that and how, like, it's expanded on, but it Luke is almost like, the way you say, more centered and measured. It almost feels like it's a blank canvas. Like, he feels like he's at the starting point of his, like, he's, you know, and he faces the Vader and stuff, but he's basically a Jedi trained. His training is complete, and Yoda even says that. So now it feels like a scenario where, like, it just could flip the other way. Like, he could apply all the stuff he's learned to a not-so-righteous path, and he's in a very, like, transformable state right now where it could go either way for him, which I really, really like. I like that Han is kind of in amongst all of this. He's like an audience surrogate almost, because he's been out of the loop since the ending of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
There's this really...
What does he say? Like, I've been away for a little bit and everyone gets delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, and he's got this like this silly line or something where he's like he phrases it. It's like someone's like, "Oh, Luke's rescuing us," and he's like, "Luke can rescue himself," or something.
Yeah,
has no idea that Luke is like off being the coolest guy ever. Yeah, no, to be fair, I completely forgot about all the Dagobah stuff. I like. Do you want to talk about that from a certain point of view? The gaslighting.
Yeah, the gaslighting. It's pretty funny, isn't it?
It's funny the funny circles that the film jumps through to apologize for it.
Yeah, like this very much was not a thing in the first movie, but like now it is, so we have to make it work.
Mm.
And the way we're gonna make that work is have Obi-Wan be a bigger lying cunt. Yeah. So it's like, no, like, well, if you think about it, what really, what I said was Vader killed your dad. And, like, if you look at it from a certain point of view, I mean, that's kind of true because, like, you know, Anakin died and he became Vader. So, really, you know, it works.
It's very, like... This makes sense if you thought about it in a way that no one would ever hear that information and think about.
Yeah.
Like, if I spoke entirely in metaphors, it's your fault for not understanding it. Like, yeah, it's it is quite funny, but I do quite like how it is, because like I know they were kind of dealing with the best of a weird situation in explaining it like that, but it does just add this kind of layer onto the Jedi that make them. They feel like they almost put Luke in a box. Like it now infers that they never trusted him fully with the truth.
100%.
And Yoda even has a line about how he like, it's a shame or something that he went out unprepared to face that burden. And it's like, he would have done so much better if you'd have told him that. Case in point, the next time he meets Vader and he's prepared for that, he does a lot better. It does add this layer of like unwilling to trust anyone outside of the fold with the secret and the burden of knowing that secret, which just makes the Jedi's fall more like clearly kind of telegraphed. Like you do get the impression that the Jedi are ignorant and often, I don't know, what's the word? Dismissive of how other people could be of use, I guess.
Yeah. They're very much blindsided and lost their way by like, the Clone Wars and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like it. I like that Yoda fades out. He becomes one with the Force.
He does. He turns into a little Force ghost. Mm. Well, we don't actually seem to be a Force ghost until later, but he just disappears. Mm. And yeah, pretty cool.
Anyway, the Ewoks.
For fuck's sake, man. All right. Tell me your thoughts on the Ewoks, but be warned.
Mm.
I might kill you.
No, I love the Ewoks.
Okay, well, I won't kill you.
To read the first sentence of my note verbatim, I've never understood the hate for the Ewoks. I think
me
they're
neither.
Like,
they're great.
They are great. Firstly, best game mode in Battlefront. Battlefront.
Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Ewok Hunt. Oh, yeah.
I sometimes still just load up at Ewok Hunt and I'm like, let's have a run around with these little freaks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. But I think, like, I mean, everyone knows. It's clear as day. And they became a bit more kind of politically transparent in the prequels, but this is very clearly like a metaphor on like the indigenous people versus the fucking like basically American and British invaders. This is very clearly like the story of the underdog.
It's Vietnam.
Is it? Do you reckon?
It's Vietnam. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
George said that himself. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's weird. I literally never put that together.
Yeah, it's Vietnam.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. Similar ilk of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
No, but it's I don't know, it feels very like it kind of echoes this theme of, and this is kind of a partial reason why I never understood the hate for it. It just echoes the point that they were making with Yoda beautifully, in that don't underestimate someone for their size, appearance, don't underestimate someone because they live in, you know, a hut in the middle of nowhere. Like it's, you know, people often would say, you know, how could we defeat the Empire? They've got advanced technology and all of this, but they get brought down by sticks and stones and fucking just creativity and clever engineering of weaponry. Like,
that's the Vietnam of it all, because America, like, went into Vietnam thinking, oh, this will be a fucking cakewalk. We're America. We're the fucking greatest military in the world.
How could we lose?
We got everything. We spend like 90% of our annual budget on the fucking military. Yeah. So like, we're great, man. We're good to go. And then like fucking Vietnam, in comparison, are like a very poor nation in comparison. Like, wiped the fucking floor with them. And, like, you know,
when you haven't got the money, you have to get creative. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I also just think like people give them crap for like the design of them, but they look fucking incredible.
They're little bears. What do you want?
Yeah, they literally, but they're also like, just in terms of how good they look, they look like little cuddly teddy bears, but the fucking duality between them of making them from 1 second be a cute teddy bear, and then they like reveal they've got these like razor sharp teeth, and they pull out their like spears and their like sticks and stuff, and you're like, I could fucking be killed by these bears. And like,
well, we're gonna eat them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's crazy, right? I really, it's obviously harping on the Yoda thing of like, don't judge a book by its cover. But I also think it's just like, people say, oh, they're just for kids, and you know, their inclusion is just to sell toys. And there probably was an absolute financial benefit to selling cuddly bears to kids.
Yeah.
But they're not just that. And also, there was a benefit to selling Luke Skywalker toys to kids, too.
Yeah, like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, they're just there to sell toys. Who cares, though? Because if it works for the movie, it works for the movie.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. There's a new Stormtrooper design in literally every single Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Purely for the fact that they can sell a new Stormtrooper toy.
Yeah.
All right?
It's the point.
We've got the Scout Troopers here, all right?
Yeah.
They've still, to this day, they've never figured out what the Scout Troopers are for. It changes in every fucking medium, all right? But, like, they're here so we can have a new toy, and they look cool, so there we go.
There we are.
Scout Troopers, boom, toy.
Yeah,
Ewok, toy. Also, the Ewoks were supposed to be the Wookiees, and then they were like, it was originally going to be on Kashyyyk, or whatever Kashyyyk was back in the day, and they were going to be like, oh, we're going to go to Chewie's homeworld, and we'll have a bunch of Wookiees there to help us fight the Empire.
Oh, okay.
And then they were like, oh, that's going to be quite expensive and difficult to film, so let's just... Let's just change the name around and we'll make them Ewoks, and then they'll be smaller bears.
Someone ordered exactly too little of the fabric for Chewie by half, and they were like, I guess they're smaller Chewies now. Like,
probably about a third of the size of Chewie.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. They thought, I'll tell you what, we'll save that gold concept for a great holiday special we've got in the works.
Holiday special was before this.
Oh, was it just after the first one?
Yeah, holiday special was... between the first two. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, because it debuted Boba Fett, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You fool, Lawrence. You don't know your lore and history.
No, I'm not familiar with stuff that happened like fucking 5 decades ago. I'm a fool. Yeah, no, I love the Ewoks. I just think they're like, I love just the imagery of the Empire being brought down by like, they're doing the stuff. It even kind of makes the rebels look a bit too bombastic in context next to them, right? Because like you had entire like fucking squadrons of like fighter jets to bring down AT-ATs and stuff, and like they're doing loops and circles, and they're attaching like ropes to the legs so that they can just tackle them down.
Well, AT-ATs aren't AT-STs.
No, they're not. They're but like, but then. Humans aren't Ewoks, so like,
well, yeah,
you can level out that size comparison. No, I know what you're saying, but like, in terms of like a comparative, like scaled down version, they just—it's not even a threat. Like, it's a war, but they're like, oh, we can take this. We know what we're doing. It's not all hope is lost.
It is pretty sad when those like Ewoks get blown up, and then one like goes to check out his friend. He's like, wake up, buddy. But he doesn't because he's dead.
And then he just kind of falls into him.
Yeah.
Has a little sad cry. I got that. I was going to save it for little things, but there was it got me in the feelings the same. The Rancor trainer.
Oh, Lil Patissa's.
Oh trainer. Man, yeah. He was he's just crying. Oh, it just got me. No, because they present it as like this is the Rancor. This is but like the Rancor is just a slave to this as well.
Yeah, the Rancor is very much just as much of a slave as anyone else there.
Yeah. And like Luke kills him and it's like, duh, 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 duh. It's like, oh no, that's actually sad, actually. Yeah. Just two victims of this horrible fucking regime.
Poor little Rancor.
Indeed. But yeah, I like a lot of the Endor stuff. I like that people get new fits for Endor as well. Do you want to do some fit talk?
Who's got new fits?
Well, we've got Han puts on a nice camo trench coat.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Which is probably my least favorite Han fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not.
I kind of like the long coat, but yeah.
I don't think it matches his like rough and ready vibe.
Really, he's just wearing the same outfit as the first movie, but he's got a coat on.
Yeah, but he's added the coat, yeah.
But and also, like, he's only wearing the coat in, like, one scene, and then he, like, takes it off for the rest of the movie.
And he knows. He knows. This isn't my vibe.
Yeah.
Leia's got a great little upgrade. Leia's looking, like, I still think my favourite Leia outfit is the Hoth gilet.
Gilet, yeah.
Yeah, but she gets a nice kind of combat look in this, like a camo combat.
Little Endor poncho.
She has her worst look in this movie too. The bikini, the slave bikini.
Yes. Yeah, controversial statement that.
Would, I don't think so. I think it's weird that people are like, oh, whoa, yeah, when they put that on screen. I'm like, what, an enslaved woman to a weird slug? No, it's not something that gets me going personally.
Look, while I kind of deny that, you know, Carrie Fisher is a very beautiful woman and she looks good in all aspects.
She pulls off the look, I will say.
She pulls off the look.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, I always find it weird when people do like a, like, you know, you go on TikTok and you see someone do like a thirst trap in like a slave Leia outfit.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about this which just feels so just wrong.
I mean, just like, add the context that the outfit is often referred to as slave Leia.
Yes,
and I know that's
people
all you
have
need.
Tried to reclaim it. People have tried to reclaim it and refer to it as the Hutt Slayer outfit, which, you know, I can see the merit in, but at the same time, it was still an outfit that was forced upon her because of this horrible situation that she was in.
And I think in the actual film context as well, I'm pretty sure Carrie Fisher has come out like and said way after, obviously, but like, I wish I pushed back on that. I could have done without that.
Probably, yeah. George is notoriously a bit of a...
What's the whole, like, oh, you can't wear bras in space
kind of thing? There's no bras in space, yeah.
But I don't see fucking Han Solo freeballing it.
Well, I don't think he's wearing a bra.
No, but he doesn't have his Johnson swinging, does he?
Well, they didn't say no underwear, they just said no bra.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But bras underwear.
Okay, yeah, but they didn't say no underwear, they said no bra, again.
I think they specified no bra for a particular reason.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying your point doesn't exactly work because they're different things.
I'm just saying Harrison should have had his solo swinging. Yeah, that's fine. I deserve that one. All right, I have humble pie to eat. You can guess why, or I can just come out and tell you.
I have no idea why.
Fucking Lando's pretty cool.
Yeah, I told you. I've been saying this to you for years, you fucking idiot.
I had it in the back of my mind. It just wasn't... We'd seen the redemption already with Han Solo in a character that I think is cooler, but I've come to appreciate his smooth devil ways. I've come to appreciate his, you know, his ambitious, earnest trust in his friends. You know, my guy down there will get it done. He'll look after us. I like that. He does embody this nice sense of hope that the final battle needs.
And now he's fully committed to the rebellion as well.
It's true.
He's a general. He's leading the attack on the Death Star.
Yeah.
He's doing good. Oh, the Death Star's back, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What do you make of a second Death Star? Two of three, I think.
This is the second of three that shows up. I don't know. As an adult, I'm like, yeah, not great.
It felt like it could have been more interesting, something else.
But as a kid, I always thought it was the first Death Star. I always thought it was because the first Death Star blew up and then this one is like half built and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is what's left after it blew up.
Right. They're logically kind of re-piecing it back. Yeah.
No, not even that. This is just what's left. Like, this is it got destroyed and like, this is how it looks now.
But it still works.
Yeah. And in my head, in my big, stupid kid brain, I was like, oh, yeah, it's perfect sense. This is what's left now. So I was like, oh yeah, that's of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. It's a little dumb, but
it is a little dumb. But also, I think maybe this was intended. Maybe this was just they had no ideas left, which I feel is maybe not a fair claim to make against most famous Hollywood ideas man George Lucas. Mm-hmm. But like, it kind of also speaks again to the hubris of the Empire and just we'll do the same thing again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's no way the Rebels will get lucky twice.
Because it worked out so well last time.
Yeah,
so.
but they don't even, they never, they underestimate, they don't consider that.
Well, it's bigger.
It's certainly it's like, bigger.
It's like three times bigger or whatever.
And so then isn't like isn't there a really, I remember, and maybe they're listening, maybe they're not. we went and saw, wait, was it? What, did we go and see? Yeah, when we saw The Last Jedi, we watched The Force Awakens first, didn't we? It was a double billing.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
And I remember going with Garrett, who has been on the show quite some episodes back, and our friend from uni, Harry. And we were sat across the way from them.
He technically has appeared on the show.
Yes, in the wedding special, yeah.
Yes.
But I remember just kind of, I'd never even really considered it and how silly of a line it was before in The Force Awakens when he goes, "No, this was the Death Star. And this is Starkiller Base." And it's just zoom. The camera pans across to this hologram. The Death Star is relatively small. And then Starkiller Base is like four times the size of the Death Star. And I just, to this day, I still remember Garrett and Harry both cracking up. No one else was laughing. And they were just like, this is ridiculous.
That's your favorite movie as well. You love The Force
Awakens. I love and this is what I was saying earlier, right? Like, I think there's flaws in The Force Awakens, but it's such a fucking enjoyable movie to watch. Like, it's a movie that is just so earnestly like, yeah, we're doing Star Wars. You miss Star Wars,
Lawrence,
on the big screen.
Shut up. We're not doing The Force Awakens right now.
We will get there. I really want to do the sequels.
We will in 2 years.
Okay, that's the fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah, okay. We're, where were we? Two Death Stars.
Two Death Stars. My two Death Stars. Look, it's great. Well, it's not great, but you know, it's fine.
It does the job.
It's a Death Star. Yeah. What do you want? It's a big thing. Where else were they going to set the final battle?
Yeah,
on a spaceship. Boring.
I mean, you said it earlier. They need the three prongs. They need the ground assault, the more interpersonal conflict, and then a big space battle. So yeah, you need something like that, and it just makes sense to basically build a bigger, meaner Death Star. That's this is one thing that's always got me. Maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but this one's better defended than the first Death Star. Yeah. But I always, and maybe it's because it's the solo conflict of the first movie's third act. I always felt like the first one was still harder to blow up than the second one.
I see what you're saying. Because like, it is just like half open and you can just like fly into it.
Like, I feel like I could take my Sunday Star Cruiser and just go in. Yeah.
No, I see what you mean. But it's also like, it also has the whole Empire fleet around it as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel like that's more what they're talking about, really.
And
like,
you kind of need to hit that golden window of the shield generator being down, them not knowing it's down and hitting it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great moment when like the Rebel fleet pull out of hyperspace and they're like going, "Let's do this, let's go blow up the Death Star." Then Lando's like, "Hold on a minute, boys. Something doesn't feel right here."
Yeah.
Something doesn't blow up. pull up, no. And then Akbar is like, it's a trap.
I do like it's that nature of the whole third act of the movie is just like, yeah, you thought, like, yeah. From the Empire, of just like, yeah, we've kind of worked around. We anticipated a lot of this.
I'm afraid the Death Star is quite operational.
Well, so this was Ian McDiarmid's first appearance, right?
This was, yeah, his first appearance as Emperor Palpatine.
And then they just went back and obviously put him into Empire, because it was the old lady with the chimp eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's brilliant. Like,
he's great. And he's like 30 years old.
Yeah, which is crazy. Well, right?
Yeah.
They had to do so much work to make him look old.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he finally aged into the... It's rare that a original trilogy actor ages into their role.
Yeah.
Rather than ages out of it.
And like fucking 40 years later, he's still doing it. And he's doing a great job as well.
But he's always been a standout and he's always been brilliant. But I just absolutely love this... He's such a fucking... If Vader is
he's
like
a menace.
He's
a big Phantom Menace.
He is. That's the Phantom Menace.
He is. Yeah.
If Vader brings this brawn and this fear level and this, you displease me, I choke you out. Yeah. What?
Yes.
He's the when you the second you see him and you get a hint of it in Empire where like Vader is on his knees, basically praying towards the big head. Hologram of him, but the second he arrives in this, he's just such a frail old guy. But Vader is like just obviously shit scared of him, and not in a way that like Vader's cowering in fear. It never trades off any of the menace of Darth Vader, but like it just becomes so clear that he's like, this is his. I mean, he calls him master anyway, but it becomes so apparent that the relationship here is puppet and puppeteer.
Yeah,
which I fucking love. He just gives an absolutely incredible performance, and I love that. Even though this is the movie where, and it's rare for this to happen, I think this is the movie where he loses, and the Empire loses, and the cards have all been stacked against him. For a very long time, he was in the rare position of whichever way this goes, I win.
Yeah,
like if Luke kills Vader, I win. If Vader kills Luke, I still win. Like he's there. That shot of the blades clashing over his just grinning face. It's just written all over him that just like, I have no stake in this. I don't give a fuck how this ends.
That's Palpatine. I think that's the reason why he's so menacing and scary, but also like genuinely like a great, well-written character. Is just Palpatine is just like, is the ultimate planner, really.
Yeah,
he like just plans for every scenario, and he takes everything into account, and you know, he has this whole long drawn out plan about taking over the whole galaxy and what he can do beyond that point, and his whole obsession with just getting more and more power. But then it's like which ultimately becomes his downfall, because like for everything like he saw and thought about and you know planned for, the one thing that he didn't was like a dad loving his son.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
Something so fucking normal and ordinary is just the one thing he didn't think about. And then
it's the one thing he's incapable of thinking about. Because like,
yeah, exactly.
And you get this obviously later in the prequels, but his way of caring for a child is to groom them, to manipulate them. Like that's obviously his relationship with Anakin and everything else. But like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just
he's got a great theme as well.
Which one's his
John
theme?
John Williams is always cooking. John Williams is always doing a great job, but the Emperor's theme is so like, it's not like bombastic or like in your face like the Imperial March or anything like that. It's just so subtle and chilling, and it's just like, oh, it's really good.
I hear a bit? Can you play it on the thing?
Yeah, well, it's like a, it's more like atmospheric, and it's like, ooh.
Oh, I know exactly the one you mean, yeah. Like a low choir. The one I love is the fuck, it comes in the main crux of it kicks in after the bit where Vader goes, "Ooh, sister." And Luke starts,
"You have a twin sister."
Yeah, and Luke starts just absolutely wailing on him, and you get, is it Fury of a Jedi's Fury, something like that?
No idea. don't know.
It's the one where it's like it feels like those low drones of the Emperor's theme, but it's more hopeful, but also like it. I don't know. There's something about that piece of music that just spells out. It feels like the ultimate battle of good versus evil, and it's so good. But yeah. Anyway, so I put down the talking about the kind of the duel and the three pronged third act. I like the duel of Vader and Luke because it's just this. I don't know. It's obviously it's the emotional payoff to this story, and it's almost like the battle for the legacy of the Skywalkers in general. Like, I guess like innocence is on the line, but also Vader's redemption is on the line. And amongst all of it, like we just said, you have Palpatine in this position in the middle where it really doesn't matter what happens to him. He's still going to have a puppet to play with after the fact. They're trading back and forth. I like how it's framed as a duel between Vader and Luke, but really it's Luke versus the Emperor. Yeah. And Vader's mostly just an observer. Like, I've always felt their dialogue was in the same way that Yoda in this trilogy never had a lightsaber. You get the same treatment for the Emperor, where they both feel elevated beyond it. I know the prequels obviously give them both lightsabers, but in this original kind of viewing of them, I feel like they're both just masters of the Force, and the way they battle is with their ideas and their philosophy and their words. Yeah, and I don't know. What do you make of all that kind of like the trading of dialogue between the Emperor and Luke?
Again, yeah, it's just Palpatine pulling the strings, really, just trying his best to do what he does best. I do like the way he's like, you know, he's goading Luke throughout the scenes and stuff, and he's like he's showing him the Empire fleet just like crushing the rebels and stuff. He's like, oh, you want this? You want your lightsaber? Well, take it. Strike me down. See what happens. It'll be fine, I bet. Nothing will happen. Don't worry about it.
It feels like Luke can't make a move. He either stands still and does nothing.
Yeah.
And loses or fights and loses.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Luke does give into the anger. He does take the lightsaber. He goes and takes a swing at him, and then Vader's there. You got that great shot of the blades crossing over Palpatine as he just like smiles menacingly in glee at it all. But the duel between Vader and Luke, it's one of the best that's ever been put to screen.
Yeah.
I think it's so good. I love how Luke truly does lose himself in that battle. He really does lose sight of it all, and there is a moment where you can see a possibility of him leaning that way and taking it all in. You really, like, all it takes is just the threat of losing Leia, and he's like, fuck this and fuck you, and he's just the way he just wails on Vader, and he's just slamming that blade down on him over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, and Vader's like, fucking hell, I can't do anything against this. I'm fucked, mate.
You get like, as an audience member, you get the catharsis of wanting to see Vader get put down, but you also get the vindication of, you know, people on the right side saying, you know, Luke's the hero of the piece. Luke shouldn't kill you. And I think it's like, it's a really interesting position for Luke as a character to be put in, because in episode four, so A New Hope, it was very Luke learns to fight back, comes to terms with the fact that he can stand still and not contribute, or can fight back, and he makes the choice to fight in the only way that he really can. In the second one, it's more about holding his own against Vader and just basically living to fight for another day. That day won't be today, but he has to survive it and come out on top, or at least come out alive. I don't know, I guess like the way that this is the first time Luke is able to, he's powerful enough to decide, rather than just like in the, you know, he doesn't just have to make it out alive. If he wants to end this, he can. The ultimate control over your power is knowing when to withhold it. Like, it's funny because that realization comes after he's like furiously and recklessly unleashed it and lost control of it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He does lose control, and he does wail on Vader, and he is like at that point where he could strike the final blow and just end it there. But then he does have that moment of realization, and one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars for me is when he throws away the lightsaber and he's like, "Fuck this, man! I'm a Jedi, like my father before me. All right, and you." You can't do shit, all right? You're here saying that I should just kill him, strike him down, and take his place? Fuck you. We're the Skywalker boys, all right? We're so much better than you, cunt, all right? Fuck you, and fuck this lightsaber. I don't even need it, all
right? It's the ultimate trust in a higher power, right? Like, it's the ultimate
yes.
trust in the Force, because, you know, Palpatine can sit there and, you know, he's a master of the Force, and he knows how to wield the dark side to be his greatest strength, right? But ultimately, he's a planner, and he has plans A all the way through to fucking Z, right? Mm. So, like, he's someone that has backups, and he never puts his full confidence in, I guess, like, the will of the world and destiny and the Force and faith. Whereas Luke throws it away and is essentially saying, what will be, but I won't lose. Like, I may lose the day, but I will not succumb to what you want me to do.
100%.
And yeah, and like you said, the beauty in it is the fact that just the one thing Palpatine never planned for was basically a father looking at his son being tortured and then just going, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Which I love.
It's a great moment when he does like throw Palpatine down the shaft and stuff, and you get the Force theme like mixing in with the music at the same time. Like, it's, you know, like, letting us know that he has come back to the light and stuff. It's great. It's a beautiful moment. Mm. I do love it. I even love the added nose.
I like the added nose. I think the nose makes sense.
Yeah. I do too.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah, I love all of that. I don't know. Before we get to Luke and Vader's final conversation, what's going on elsewhere in the galaxy?
There's probably don't know, just someone chilling on
that could be happening. Naboo. Yeah,
yeah, someone chilling on the boo.
Who's Lando's boy? Nine Nub. What's his name?
Nine Num.
Nine Num.
Nine Num.
I like him and his weird, awkward laughs that he does. It's very like Lando's like just is like, yeah, good shot or whatever, and it just, and then like it feels like there's a really awkwardly edited pause where I'm just going.
The rules of the Falcon are you need a weird co-pilot who doesn't speak basic or whatever. So
I did notice so that again it was more like he says stuff and Lando's like, yeah, I know, let's not think like that. And it's like, what's he saying?
Too close. Yeah.
I like them. I like Lando a lot better now he's not wearing Han's clothes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how the obviously, this gets brought up again later on in Solo and stuff, but, like, I like seeing someone else pilot the Falcon. It's very funny. Like, even the way they animate the Falcon in, like, it flies differently. Lando is far more precise. Whereas, like, Han Solo's very... I don't know. Han Solo feels very more, like, erratic, whereas Lando feels like he knows a bit better what he's doing.
No.
Do you not think?
Han is very clearly the better pilot.
Yeah, but erratically.
Yeah. I mean, like, Han will happily, you know, crash the ship a few times or whatever while he's flying it. He'll let it take on a little bit of damage, but Lando is a little bit more like inside the lines.
Not my baby kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which is, again, it's not this movie, but it is very funny to me in Solo. Like, the second Han gets his hands on the controls, it's just. utterly just wrecked afterwards.
He completely fucks it up, and then like he ejects that pod or something that is famous for its shape, like its two pronged shape. I do find that very funny. There's that one shot of the Falcon where it's just like they're like, oh, that's my ship over there or something. It's just battered to fuck. Like, it's never looked worse.
Yeah.
What else is going on? We've got everything going on the floor below. Han Solo, Leia, Chewie, C-3PO, they're all having a scrap.
Captain Rex.
And Captain Rex, who is...
Captain Rex.
Is this definitively Captain Rex? What is this?
Ah, it's vague, isn't it?
It's just like, if you want to think that's Rex,
it's
that's
never,
Rex.
It's never officially been said that this is Captain Rex, but it's also, like
instead of not being
in the end of Rebels, they were like very clearly like, look, he's dressed the same and it's him.
Oh, and, okay.
And
yeah.
Captain Rex was on the Battle of Endor and, you know, he's there.
He's that old guy that had no idea he's been immortalized as this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that you get Han Solo's, like, his iconic little shrug that he does.
Yeah, it's a good little shrug. You get I love you, I know, again, but flipped around this time.
Very cute. Leia's shooting people. Leia's, like... She's not, I mean, she got shot. She's not feigning injury, but she's very like, oh, woe is me. Fucking psych. Take this.
Yeah.
I like sure. that. I do find that there are a few conversations in this that could easily be like, like those little moments where the truth could be outed and it would save everyone some time. Like,
Well, like the Luke and Leia thing.
The Luke and Leia thing, and Han's like, when oh, Han's you can tell like... Luke, huh?
Yeah. It is a bit funny when like she does tell him, but he's like, oh, you love Luke, don't you? And she's like, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's got no context for this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, she just expects him to know. And she finds it ridiculous that he doesn't know. Yeah. But like, you've never told him.
And why would he guess that?
Yeah. And then he has that, just the whole reaction to that is very funny as well. His kind of over-the-top reaction.
Is Harrison Ford, right, and I won't ever say a bad word against him, but his performance is noticeably weirder in this.
He's having fun. He's probably high for most of it.
He probably is, but he seems far, and I think maybe this is intentional, but like, he seems less cool. He seems more goofy than cool in this one.
He's getting older.
He is getting older, yeah. Maybe he's just... aging out of his gruff.
He's in his dad era.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Mm-hmm. He's got that great scene with C-3PO where he's like, ask them to do this. And he turns out, he's like, and this
and we need
well.
Our weapons.
Yeah, and we need our weapons.
Hurry up about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and get on with it while you're there. which is very fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't know, who stole the movie for you? Who's the movie's best?
Luke. It's Luke's movie.
It is Luke's movie, yeah.
It's Luke's movie. It's The Return of the Jedi. It's a great, just... I don't know. I just really love everything it does with Luke, like, especially the ending and stuff, and again, just the throwing away the lightsaber. It's like, that's, like, the ultimate Jedi moment for me. That's, like, everything a Jedi should be and everything a Jedi is and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the choosing not to fight is, like, the big thing with a Jedi.
Where do you land on the... What side of the fence do you land on with the interpretation of Return of the Jedi, the title? Who's the Jedi in question?
Well, it's not... The Return of the Jedi isn't the return of this one Jedi. It's a return of the Jedi Order.
Yeah. I always interpreted it as Vader's redemption, Anakin. Like,
I mean,
making the sacrifice play.
I mean, yeah, that's part of it. Like, any good title will have multiple interpretations and multiple ways you can look at it. And a lot of Star Wars titles are built that way.
Mm.
Like, you can look at them from multiple angles and stuff. But overall, in terms of theme, it's like it's the Return of the Jedi Order.
Yeah, for me. It's they won the day eventually kind of thing.
They're back.
Yeah. I do like, yeah, that's also... Luke implies, Yoda implies, you know, pass on what you've learned. The Force is strong in my family.
Yeah,
it's a very quotable movie, come to think of it.
It is, yeah. A lot of big quotes in this movie.
Yeah.
I see them way later.
I think that's just one of your favourites.
I love
Mark Hamill's delivery of that.
I do. I say it all the time.
What
it's just because there's no pauses. It's just all one take, and I love it.
I see them way later.
It's like three lines, but he just delivered it as one.
Yeah. No punctuation whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's almost like it was one word written phonetically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've got So Be It Jedi,
so
which
be
is
it
a good one.
Jedi.
You've got the Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it, which is good. What are the other ones? There's other.
You got Leia lying about her mum.
Oh, yeah, what's she doing?
She's lying.
She's outright just telling untruths.
Well,
this is
no,
one of them things
like
that doesn't slot in, right?
Yeah. No, it's probably like a Force thing or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
But, like, Revenge of the Sith hadn't been made, and we didn't know Natalie Portman died immediately. So.
I like that, you know, very beautiful woman. She was sad. It's like, well, she weren't having the best minute of her life that you knew her for. So,
yeah.
I guess dying is a bit sad.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Anything else? Anything else to say?
Vader takes off his helmet.
Oh, like, yeah.
Look at you in my own eyes. That's another big quote as well.
Hello, it's me, Sebastian Shaw.
It's me, Sebastian Stan. Bucky Barnes.
Famous Shakespearean actor, it is me. So how many people total have played Darth Vader in the original trilogy?
So James Earl Jones, David Prowse, Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
So at least three.
Hayden Christensen, he's in the flashback.
Well,
the Force Ghost.
Yeah. Not technically.
No, he's in it. He's in it. He's the Force Ghost as Vader.
Yes, he is, but he hasn't technically... In the original trilogy, though.
All right, yeah. It is very much... It is this amalgamation, isn't it? Of, we said it before, yeah. Star Wars love splicing like four people to make one performance.
Yeah, so it's at least four then for the original trilogy.
What'd you make of Vader without his helmet on?
And then, you know, there'd have been stunt doubles and whatever.
Oh yeah, but I'm talking on screen. Who can we? But then again, you never see David Prowse, I guess. Who played fucking Neapolitan ice cream head from Empire? Whose head was that?
I don't know.
We saw it on screen. It counts.
Might have just been a
a scoop.
Might not have been. No, might have just been like a prop thing, like a puppet or something. I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
They could have just whipped some up.
Yeah.
Might have been David Prowse. They might have just put like a cap on him or something.
Yeah, they may as well. They could have done, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who, what would you make of helmetless Vader? Everything, you, as a child, do you remember your feeling of like seeing the guy under the mask for the first time?
No, I don't, to be honest. No, I don't really. No, it's not something I think about as a child. I was probably like, oh, this is weird, and I don't really care about it.
yeah. He's instantly less cool.
No, but I like it. It's like I love the design and how he looks and stuff. It's weird to think that he's only 45, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like, he looks like in his 60s, at least, yeah.
And, you know, they didn't really know how old Vader was supposed to be, like, at this point, but, like... Yeah, it is weird to think of him as just like a 45-year-old man, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
not the best.
I like it. I think it's what the ending really needed. You needed to, I mean, it's the ultimate humanization of Vader, is to remove the machine around him, right?
Yeah, of course.
And to show him as this.
Well, even that line, that like one of the last lines he has, just let me look on you with my own eyes.
Yeah, oh, so beautiful.
It's great, yeah. Yeah.
I love how his parting words are like, you were right, like, and tell your sister you were right. Like, it's the that gratification of like Darth Vader's final act is a defiance of the Emperor and an affirmation of the beliefs of the Jedi, which is lovely.
Do you know, Mark Hamill suggested to George Lucas that after this he should put on the Darth Vader helmet, so it should be like, so it's kind of ominous as to where Luke's fate goes. And then George Lucas was like, no, I don't think so.
That would have been terrible.
I know, yeah. I like Mark Hamill, but like, he's not a writer.
No.
he often has like these ideas, and I'm like, Mark Hamill, you're a nice guy, I like you, but
He's the poster child for like the you can not like The Last Jedi, but the majority of people that vocally dislike The Last Jedi are people
like,
whose opinion.
Well, Mark Hamill disagrees.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, but
Mark Hamill didn't write
Mark
it.
Hamill, yeah,
that's why
Mark Hamill's not a writer. You know,
it's almost as if some actors are just actors, and that's fine. Mark Hamill's legendary. I won't say he's. Bad
Mark
Hamill's
great in this movie. Like, he's amazing, but he's not a writer.
Yeah.
And that is evident.
Believe it or not, people can be good at what they do and not good at what they don't do.
Yes.
Like, that's something
and
that
that's
is fine.
Okay.
It's like, Mark Hamill obviously has the clearest understanding of the character. No, I think the person who conceptualized the character probably does, yeah.
Yeah. You can play a character and still not 100%, like, get every aspect of it, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah. Fucking hell. Strange. Very strange. That's almost akin to, do you remember that, I think I've told you about this before, that big viral tweet that went round of one, you know, one of those guys that loves the superhero cameos and stuff in the movies, like Soups or whatever his name is.
I know Soups.
I don't know if it was him. It was like certain, it was one of that crowd. One of those TikTok Marvel guys. And there was a tweet that went massive that was like, the ending of Peacemaker should have Peacemaker putting on Rick Flagg's t-shirt and saying Peacemaker, what a joke, in solidarity and regret of killing Rick Flagg or something. And people were like, it got so lambasted. Like, people were like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Like, it became the poster tweet of why fans should never write for their franchises that they love.
Oh yeah, like, there was at the end of Kenobi, there was people genuinely suggesting that at one point Vader should have said, "Now I have the high ground" or something. And I'm like, oh,
that would have been great. Yeah. Just the absolute dismissal of any subtlety whatsoever. Just in case
people don't want storytelling. They just want references to things that they know. They just want to point and say, "I recognize that. This is good writing."
Look, I like Kenobi has its haters. I'm not one of them. I quite enjoyed Kenobi, but even the hello there at the end was a little bit too much for me.
No, that was earned.
Because they waited until the last second.
Yeah, that was 100% earned. That was great. And also, Kenobi says hello there a lot, so it's fine.
He does. I forgive it. It's only because hello there became hello there.
It's great. No, it was earned. Hello there.
It birthed plenty of 2007 Transformers ending movie memes, which I quite enjoyed as well.
Yeah, it was very good.
Do you have any little things?
Do I have any little things?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You don't have to. I've only got one.
All right, what's your one?
My one is that it's quite funny. The man who spent the entire last movie murdering admirals, right, in Darth Vader. He's like, I just quite liked the how he's like, the Emperor isn't as forgiving as me. And that's like, oh my God. Like, what does the Emperor do? Does he just walk on and kill someone for fun? Like, every hour he cherry picks someone to die.
He's pretty ruthless.
I mean, he is ruthless. I quite enjoyed that Vader, like, he has this, I never really fully appreciate before, but Vader has this snarkiness to him. Like, Vader is often quite like, I think back to, you know, don't choke on your aspirations.
Be careful not to choke on your aspirations.
And like the other stuff, he was like the, you know, like, what did he say last week that was like, basically just choking out the admirals and then being like, you're now in charge. Like, don't fail me or something. It's, I don't know, it's part of it, it felt very kind of, it's, you can see that those parts of Anakin and Anakin's wit and Anakin's, like, sometimes Anakin had like this cynicism to him that was just kind of spat out in a snotty remark, which was quite funny.
I'll tell you what, one thing the Clone Wars loves doing is giving Vader quotes to Anakin.
Oh, really?
And being like, oh, this is something he's always said.
Oh, okay, like, right.
Yeah, it's very funny. Like, he'll often say, impressive, most impressive, quite a lot to, like, Ahsoka when he's training her and stuff.
Oh, that's fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I like it quite a bit.
I know that something in The Clone Wars, and I think you've told me this, that always makes me laugh, is, like, Anakin will be like, I'm really angry, and then in the background it'll just be like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
He's like, this situation has mildly frustrated me. Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, it's true.
Any little things from you, or we can move on to recommendations?
Little things. I love C-3PO flowing about. And Luke been like, tell them you'll use your magic and get angry if they don't free us.
I like that, like, C-3PO has no commitment to the bit. He's just immediately going, oh,
help me,
put me down. Nathan, it is time for recommendations. What are they?
Lovely stuff. I don't know.
Okay, well, then I can tell you. Yeah. What we do at this point in the show is we recommend something to each other and to you, the lovely listeners. It could be something that we've watched, read, listened to, experienced, anything we've done this past week that we would love to share with each other and yourselves. Nathan, what would you like to recommend this week?
My PayPal account.
Is this one of them, like, pay me app things? Like, hey, I'm going through tough times right now. I could use this.
No, what I'll do is I'll do a viral tweet.
Yeah.
And then under it, I'll be like, oh, here's my PayPal, by the way.
We could do that under my newest viral tweet, if we like.
Well, you haven't got a viral tweet.
All right. I have, but that's fine.
Oh, I know what I'll recommend. I recommend The Last of Us Part 2 Remaster.
It's a good game. I'm playing it too.
Yeah, it's a good game. Mm. Whatever.
Go on, share with us.
Look, I'm unprepared. So I'm just...
Then speak freely about this experience.
I'll tell you what I did play. I did play The Phantom Menace PS1 because it's available on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yes, let's do this. I used to love this game when I was a kid. And then I played it and I was immediately like, oh...
Yeah.
Okay. Video games have changed in 20 years or whatever.
It's like unplayable,
25
right?
years. Yeah. it's so rough, man. Like, it's fun, but it's like just the way it controls and the way it moves around. I'm like, oh, this is. I forgot just how unintuitive games were back in the day. It's just so...
like it's so unforgiving as well. Like, if you jump and you miss something by a millimeter, it's like you fail.
Yeah. And it looks like shit as well. Like, it's rough, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Though. I had that experience. I went on, you know, because they have the PlayStation Store as that classics collection thing.
That's what it's on.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, but with like a Toy Story game. And you can.
I did that the other way. The Buzz Lightyear Star Command game was on there. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's another one I loved. And then I played it and again. I was like, oh
man.
It's never as good as you remember it being. Your stupid kid brain who hasn't played a PS5 and doesn't know what it's like is like, oh, this is amazing. I'm in it. It's great, but
it's one of them where like you almost wish you never played it again because you're like, that the memory is tainted for me now. I'm like, how was I enjoying that? What an idiot.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
Nathan, I'm going to recommend the movie.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man. I don't care.
And it's a movie called How to Have Sex.
I don't need to watch that.
I just left the pause because I was like, you're going to make a joke, so you may as well do it.
Because I know it. I'm going to change my recommendation to a movie I watched.
Okay.
And it's going to be Theatre Camp. I thought that was pretty fun.
Okay, yeah. Actually, one of my rare recommendations you check out.
All right, don't cry about it.
I might cry. It never happens.
Yeah, it's good fun. Watch Theatre Camp. It's on Disney Plus.
It's a good movie.
It's a Disney Plus original movie.
Is it?
No, I don't think so.
I was going to say, I'd be surprised. all right, mine is How to Have Sex, a movie Nathan doesn't
need
to
Platt
see.
Ben Platt is in it, and he plays an appropriately aged man, not like the 15-year-old boy you played in Dear Evan Hansen or whatever.
Yeah, it's almost enough to make you forgive that film, which is I've never seen it, but apparently it is like a war crime to Dear Evan Hansen.
I've seen the clips of him playing Evan, and it's rough. Yeah. Like, why is this 40-year-old man at a high school? What's going on?
Wasn't it like almost solely done so that he could basically try like his hand at like an Oscar campaign or something?
No, it's because it's like his dad paid for the movie.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure like they greenlit the movie and put him in it because they were like, if anyone's going to win an award for this role, it's my son. And it's like, your son is too old.
Just watch Jenny Nicholson's video on it. That'll explain it all.
There we are.
That's good.
Nathan, How to Have Sex.
I already know.
No, you don't. It is a...
I fucking hope I do.
Yeah, I mean, 30 years old.
Yeah, you'd think.
It is a... very good movie. It's like all these three girls go on like a what's like a lad's holiday but for girls. Is it still a lad's holiday?
Just a girl's holiday.
Just a girl's holiday. Yeah, but that feels like less grimy. This is still an absolutely grim holiday, like on the strip in Magaluf and all of this stuff.
Yeah, just call it a girl's holiday.
All right. Well, they're basically three girls go on a girl's holiday, and it's this really kind of like I feel like it's quite a like. I feel like it's getting buried and it's one of them that people won't really know what it is because of the title. And like a lot of the time, the title is people are just, they do exactly what everyone does, which is like, oh yeah, I don't need to watch How to Have Sex. Well, I know How to Have Sex. Like it is genuine, like under all the kind of silliness of it, like It's a really, really good movie, and it's like this very interesting look at like how people's perception of like what sex is and consent and like everything else, and how people's damaged interpretation of it can cause long-lasting pain. But it's also quite an uplifting movie about like things aren't always terrible. I don't know, it's a great movie. I think people should watch it. I'd never heard of it. I just saw it and was like, I'll turn that on. I put it on a whim, and it's like very unflinching and very like, I don't know. It feels a bit preachy to be like, it's a necessary movie, but it is something I think like younger people could benefit from watching, because it's quite, it shows basically how not this, it should be called How Not to Have Sex basically. But yeah, a very good movie. And I think people should watch it.
I went on a lad's holiday once.
I still could just never picture that ever. Like it,
one of the worst times of my life.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I know you, and like even as a younger man, I knew you.
Yeah,
and like even then, like third year,
I was younger than when you knew me, though.
No, like, I know, but like I knew you when you liked going out, and even then, it was like it was a push.
Yeah.
So I cannot ever imagine. Like, were you staying in like a real shithole hotel with like a like party starters?
That was fine. It was nothing special, but it wasn't like.
Was it like an on-the-strip like, hotel?
Yeah. It was like a fucking, just a cheap fucking beds in the room, which is all we used it for, basically.
Yeah.
Just somewhere to fucking sleep. Most of the day, it would just be out and fucking...
Pulling.
Yeah, yes.
Like, pulling birds.
Pulling birds, yes. Going down to Shagalus.
Yeah, hell yeah. Skinny dipping God, on the beach.
What an awful time. Go on a holiday with your friends, it's fun. But see, the trouble was, it was like I think it was the year after the Inbetweeners movie came out.
Oh no.
So, yeah, so it was just fucking packed.
That sounds insufferable.
It was just wall to wall, just cunts everywhere.
Oh jeez.
And everyone was desperate to have their own like Inbetweeners fucking moment and shit, and it was.
Did they play like that song that they all do the silly dances to?
That song was fucking everywhere.
Oh no,
I could not escape it.
What was it like?
Bye Americano.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Bye Americano. Yeah, which is fine, but you know.
Well, but it's one of them that once you've heard it once, you never need to hear that song again.
Yeah, no, it's fine, but over and over again is just. It's relentless.
I can't imagine that. That sounds dreadful.
Go on a holiday with your friends, have fun, but don't think you need to buy into this culture of you need to go on a lads or girls holiday or whatever. It's a very British thing, but like you don't. You can do whatever works for you.
Every invitation I've ever had to anything resembling a lads holiday, I've turned down immediately. That is,
yeah, that's smart.
And paying to do it, I would genuinely rather shred the money than do it.
Yeah,
dreadful. Anyway, on that note, some life advice from us there. Thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a little 5-star review. It'd be much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, but especially Apple, because you can write a message there and we can maybe read it out. You should get excited. We're at the end of Star Wars Uary is here, so next week we are going to be doing this.
Wahoo! It's not Mario, but I have seen Mario now.
And you liked it, right?
It's pretty good.
Good movie. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at Another Happy Pod. That's where you'll get new reminders for, post reminders for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. It's also a place where you can suggest topics using the following link in our pinned tweets. No promises, but we do have one coming up, which we won't reveal until it's the actual week, but we are doing one.
Maybe.
Nathan, I don't know how aware of this you might be, but we have another podcast out there in the ether.
We do. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who podcast. It's a Doctor Who rewatch podcast where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who. It's a good fun time. Come and join us.
Lovely stuff. We will see you next week. Goodbye. Nathan and I are going to go for a nap together.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.